Utah officials look to Arkansas for ideas on Medicaid expansion. A state lawmaker's bill could take children away from murder suspects. And the Utah House of Representatives prepares themselves for the possibility of impeachment proceedings against Attorney General John Swallow. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Friday, June 7th. I'm Brian Grimmett. Utah officials are keeping a close eye on Arkansas as they consider whether to expand Medicaid. The Utah Department of Health held an informational conference call yesterday with Arkansas's Medicaid director. Members of Utah's Medicaid Expansion Community Workgroup see promise in Arkansas's unique model, which puts federal funds into the private insurance marketplace. KUER's Andrea Smartin has the story.
The Arkansas model basically gives eligible low-income residents Medicaid expansion dollars to buy private health insurance. Utah Senator Todd Weiler is a member of the community work group charged with exploring the state's options on Medicaid expansion. He's generally wary about the idea of increasing public assistance in the state, but he says Arkansas's private option could work for Utah.
If Utah were to expand Medicaid, I think it's most likely that we would do something similar to what Arkansas is pursuing. From what I know, I think it would be a better fit than just a carte blanche expansion of Medicaid like some other states have done.
Matt Sonneker is Medicaid Policy Director for Utah Health Policy Project, a consumer advocacy organization which has consistently supported Medicaid expansion in Utah. He thinks the model pioneered by Arkansas could appeal to many Utahns if it turns out to be a viable option.
I think it really fits Utah. It's private market. It gives folks private insurance and greater access to a wider array of providers. I think Senator Weiler is on the mark in that we should be pursuing Utah-specific alternatives and that this is something that we should really seriously consider.
But Sloniker warns Utah is different from Arkansas because it uses a managed care model. He says the plan would have to be adapted significantly and include consumer protections. Arkansas will give the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services a detailed proposal this summer. Federal approval is expected by October when open enrollment begins. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
With two high-profile cases in mind, a Utah lawmaker is drafting a bill to make it easier for a judge to remove children from the custody of a parent who's suspected of murdering the other parent. GOP Senator Todd Weiler says his bill would lower the standard of proof the judge needs to make the call. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
When Senator Weiler brought the bill to a Judiciary Interim Committee last month, he had in mind the families of missing West Valley City mom Susan Cox Powell and Salt Lake City mom Uta von Schwedler. Schwedler was found drowned in a bathtub in 2011. In both cases, children remained in the custody of their fathers, while those dads were suspected of involvement in the possible murders of the other parents. And in both cases, Weiler says the judge didn't have the legal means to remove the children from the home.
You know, we don't want the government willy-nilly taking children away from their parents. But I do think that the Josh Powell case and this more recent case has illustrated, you know, kind of a gap.
The bill is modeled from proposed legislation in Washington State, where Susan Cox Powell's husband, Josh Powell, eventually murdered their two boys, Charlie and Braden, before killing himself. Weiler says his bill is different from the version in Washington because it doesn't require that a judge remove child custody from a murder suspect. It simply gives him additional legal tools to do so at his discretion. But during the May Judiciary Interim Committee, Republican Representative Brian Green said he still had concerns.
I see this as being applied, even if it's not mandatory, like Washington's law, whether or not there is justification absent the situation meets the new standard now so the children can be removed. And I think that's a very troubling road to start down.
Weiler says his bill is still in the early drafting stages. It will likely be discussed later this month during another interim session. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
In response to questions from state lawmakers about the allegations surrounding Utah Attorney General John Swallow, the Utah House Majority Leadership is sending out weekly informational emails to legislators while the body considers options for dealing with the embattled public official. Utah House Speaker Rebecca Lockhart says she and other leadership members have been sending the weekly emails for about 3 weeks now. They mostly contain information regarding the definition of impeachment and the procedures the House would have to follow if that's the route they decide to go.
Somewhat uncharted territory. And so we're engaged in getting all of the information together so that when and if it were to happen, that we would be prepared and it would be done correctly.
Republican Representative Johnny Anderson of Taylorsville is taking his research into the allegations one step further. He recently invited Swallow, a few legislators, and two members of the media to his home so that he could hear Swallow's own version of the story. Due to scheduling conflicts, Swallow ultimately canceled the meeting, but Anderson says he'd like to reschedule and set up a public town hall meeting.
I think he should come out and talk directly to the people, because he doesn't, you know, he doesn't own a newspaper or have that kind of a mouthpiece. So he needs to go right to the people with whatever information he has.
While the town hall meeting is still just an idea, the House Republican caucus is set to have an open meeting on June 19th, where they will discuss the possibility of impeachment. Lockhart says that for her, the decision to impeach won't be about finding criminal wrongdoing.
They are separate and distinct functions, if you will, or processes, and that impeachment is a political process, not based on whether, you know, the criminal standard, but the public trust standard.
Swallow is a subject in a federal investigation into an alleged bribery scheme and an investigation by the Lieutenant Governor's Office concerning whether or not he broke Utah election laws. He recently reached out to legislators in a letter highlighting the work his office is doing. He's also said that he is not a criminal and that he will eventually be vindicated of all the allegations against him. Brian Grimmett, KUER News.
A professor from Brigham Young University's Plant and Wildlife Sciences Department was among the scientists who evaluated the government's management of wild horses over the past 2 years. Their report came out this week, and Steve Peterson says one of the problems they've had to deal with was simply counting Mustangs accurately. The population of some of the groups can double in 4 years, so Peterson says another challenge is finding ways to limit their reproduction.
We have a couple of people who are great on that committee at reproduction physiology, and they did. They talked a lot about and looked into the research of using different techniques for contraception, for birth control for horses, and it's something that has to be considered and thought out very carefully.
Peterson says the group did not take a position on whether the BLM's current practice of rounding up horses and removing them from public land is a good idea. That's challenged by the group American Wild Horse Preservation, which calls the report a scathing rebuke of BLM's management. It's calling for an immediate halt to wild horse roundups.
A tip from a hunter with a spotting scope helped searchers find the body of a missing hiker on Wednesday. Provo police say the hunter had been looking at Y Mountain and spotted Tyler Mail on Saturday. He didn't know Mail had fallen, but he directed searchers to the area where his body was found, at the bottom of a 65-foot cliff. Police are asking motorists to keep their loads secure in pickups or trailers. They pointed to the case of a motorcycle officer who crashed on I-15 when he hit a piece of metal on the road. He's recovering, but they say five people have died in accidents involving debris on the road in Utah over the past 5 years. Metalcraft Technologies in Cedar City has announced its sister company, Cyberjet Aircraft, will also be moving to southern Utah. State and local governments are reported to have offered a multi-year tax incentive package with a combined value of more than $43 million. The subframe for their SJ-30 aircraft will be built there. The first case of West Nile virus has been confirmed in Utah this year. The Southwest Utah Health Department says it's in Washington County. The virus is spread by mosquitoes, and for most people, the infection has mild symptoms or none at all. For a few, it can be deadly. Authorities say they've identified four cases of hepatitis A in Utah as part of an outbreak linked to a frozen organic berry mix from a farm in Oregon. Health officials in Salt Lake City say none of the victims were hospitalized and all have recovered. More than 60 cases have been identified in Nevada, California, Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, Utah, and Hawaii.
Well, the last time Andre Williams was in town, the performance venue caught fire, really. Here's Dan Nalen with a look at weekend entertainment.
It don't matter how high we go. It don't matter if it's high or low.
Well, you don't develop a voice like that without some stories to tell.
Andre Williams is a guy who it was totally off my radar until my friend Bad Brad Wheeler, local blues guru, member of the legendary Porch Pounders, he gave me a call a couple years ago, really excited because he had booked Andre Williams to come to Salt Lake City, and he told me about this movie called Agile, Mobile, and Hostile, A Year with Andre Williams. It was a documentary made about this guy, He's been around for a good 50 years. He co-wrote Stevie Wonder's first single way back when in Detroit. He wrote the song Shake a Tail Feather that Ike and Tina Turner had a hit with. He was a young guy in Detroit, moved around a bit, ended up homeless, addicted to drugs in the 70s and 80s, kind of disappeared. Now he's having this comeback on Bloodshot Records for these sort of really rootsy, gritty blues, funk, and soul albums. This latest one is called Hoods and Shades, and he recorded it with some of the guys from the original Motown band of the Funk Brothers. Really gritty stuff.
Hey, baby. I don't know if you ever been told, but you sure is proper. You're just a jaw dropper.
He played at the Garage last time, the night that the Garage burned almost to the ground. It was in the middle of a two-night set from Andre Williams. So,
where's he playing now?
He's playing at the Garage this time around, the rebuilt
new
Garage. Yes, Friday and Saturday night. He shows up, the Rubes local band, both open for him and then play with him. And you've never seen a 66-year-old guy kind of get down quite like Andre Williams does. So highly recommend it. A mere $20. This guy is serious living legend material.
And once you recover from that?
There's some good stuff all weekend on the music side of things. Saturday night, They Might Be Giants, one of my personal favorites. I know an NPR favorite out there. They're playing at the Depot. They're headlining a show. Also Saturday night, the Sandy City Amphitheater is getting into local music a little bit. They're having King Nico and Hang Time, two young local rock bands, play a show out there that's usually reserved for sort of the state fair circuit kind of bands, like Huey Lewis that's coming later this summer. So that'll be a great show. And then Sunday night at Red Butte Gardens, amazing New Orleans music. Trombone Shorty and Orleans Avenue are playing, along with Big Head Todd and the Monsters. That'll be a fine show at Red Butte Gardens.
And Dan Nalen blogs at slscene.com and reports on entertainment for KUER.
And that is your KUER News Pod for Friday, June 7th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, visit us online at KUER.org or follow us on Twitter at KUER News. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.